the reason these disturbances, they followed you to a new home, is because it's not the house that's haunted. It's your son.
So 1,100 men went in the war. 316 men come out. The Sharks took the rest June the 29th, 1945. Anyway, we delivered the bomb.
Never, ever, ever, under any circumstances, say, I'll be right back. Because you won't be back.
You get another beer, you want one?
Yeah, sure.
I'll be right back!
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Oh, shit. Oh.
My name is Robert Hawkins. Approximately 7 hours ago, something attacked the city. You found this. If you're watching this, then you know more about it than I do.
California, stay away from me. Stay away from me. I'll come in here. John Doe has the upper hand.
And on that day, Ahab will go to his grave, but he'll rise again within the hour. He will rise and beckon that all save one shall follow.
They're all gonna laugh at you! They're all gonna laugh at you! They're all gonna laugh at you!
Hello, welcome once again to Dark Discussions, your place for the discussion of horror film, fiction, and all that's fantastic. I am one of your co-hosts, Philip, from the state of New Hampshire in the U.S. of A., and with me in the state of Michigan.
This is Eric.
Eric, how's it going, sir?
I am well.
Excellent. And in the state of New York?
Hi, this is Mike.
Mike, how's it going?
I am fine, Phil. How are you?
Good, good. So I think everybody's going to be Swedish tonight. We're all Swedes, maybe? So, kind of?
Yes, we are.
Yes, but we will... I did have Swedish meatballs this weekend, homemade, but yeah. let's see, a couple of things here. First off, for folks who just stumbled upon this podcast, we are Dark Discussions podcast. Basically, we talk about genre films, so horror, sci-fi, fantasy, thrillers, techno thrillers, mystery, grindhouse, art house, midnight movies, cult films, and all sorts of films like that. Basically, we try to talk intelligently about a genre that deserves intelligence. We do have a website, darkdiscussions.com. It's part of the Dark Discussions News Network, is what our podcast is. It was actually the very first podcast of the News Network, so that's why the website is called Dark Discussions News Network instead of just Horror News Network or something. Basically, it's a weekly podcast, as we discussed. You can email us at darkdiscussions@aol.com, or you can go to the Contact Us form on darkdiscussions.com, and it will open up a form you fill in, and you press to send, and it sends an email right to us. Basically, we want to hear your thoughts, opinions, comments, and such. We do have a couple of emails that we're going to read tonight, and thank you for those emails. I'll bring those up and get them ready to go. But before we discuss all that, Eric, we have a other things kind of sort of on the website.
Yes, we do. It never ceases to amaze me that we've done this like 5,000 times and you still don't know how to do the transition.
I'm opening up the email, so I kind of screwed up.
What Phil's referring to is that we have a Patreon account. You can follow the link on darkdiscussions.com, or you can go to patreon.com/darkdiscussions. Producing this show is not free. We, I mean Phil, has to pay for a bunch of stuff, including hosting fees and website and equipment and so
Pokers
on
and beer.
So forth. So if you would care to help us offset the cost of producing this show, that's how you can do so. You can go to patreon.com/darkdiscussions. And for every $5 a month that you care to contribute, you will have the opportunity to submit a topic for us to possibly do a show on. We take all the topics submitted by our patrons and draw one at random on a quarterly basis. So for more information, you can go to patreon.com/darkdiscussions or follow the link on any page of darkdiscussions.com.
Excellent. Yes, please do. We're also, for folks who are curious, we are always looking for columnists and other podcasters. So if you are a podcast that needs a home, you can contact us at darkdiscussions@aol.com or the contact form, and we'll discuss, and maybe you'll get on with the rest. We have over 30 podcasters now, and everything's going pretty good. Also, we're always looking for columnists. We have about 3 or 4 columnists now, but we're looking for many more. Columnists can be anything from random columns about things in genre, or it could be specific things like maybe you just want to review Blu-rays, or you want to review new films, or you want to review old films, or anything. It's your thoughts on horror, whatever. We're looking for columnists, and same thing. Email darkdiscussions@aol.com or the contact us form on the website.
All submissions must be done in Comic Sans.
I guess that was funny. But
it is, if you know what that font is.
Oh, all right, fair enough. I do. I guess I don't. I'm lost.
It's a very horrible, unprofessional font.
Gotcha. All right, excellent. I'll have to check it out. Also, we're on Twitter, which is Dark Discussion 1, and we're also on Facebook at Dark Discussions Podcast Facebook group, where you can join in the conversation and discuss anything and everything. So jump in conversations that are going on, or you can actually start your own. And that's it. All right, so I got a couple of emails here. First off is John Appleby. John Appleby is one of our friends from the other side of the pond in the UK. He's from England. He has a couple of messages that he wanted to note to us. And the first one is, and this one, I believe, Eric, you actually brought up to me as well. He goes, "Hello, Dark Discussions folk. Hope you're all continuing to be safe and well. Not a horror film, but the film, what's the name of the film? I Care a Lot, starring Rosamund Pike and Peter Dinklage, is not horror, but admittedly a bloody good one in my humble opinion. I Care a Lot, starring Rosamund Pike and Peter Dinklage, great film. And moral tale. Highly recommend." And you actually said it was pretty good too, Eric, didn't you?
It sounds like he may have enjoyed it a bit more than I did. I thought that the acting was phenomenal in that movie. But as far as the moral story, I'm not sure if I really walked away with a lesson, which is what bothered me about it. But 75% of that movie was highly entertaining.
Was this on Netflix?
It is on Netflix. Yes, it is.
Okay, yeah. Because... yeah, so Pam and I, after watching the movie we're going to discuss tonight, this popped up in the other films you might be interested in.
Yeah, they're really pushing it right now.
And the picture is, of course,
Rosamund Pike.
It's Peter Dinklage.
Oh, okay.
And we just sat there watching the trailer. It's Peter Dinklage's face is on the little icon or the poster, for lack of a better term. He did not appear anywhere in the trailer.
That's weird. The poster art I've seen actually has a Rosamund Pike on it.
Okay, we were completely confused. They probably know that I would be more into Peter Dinklage. But yeah, I just thought. I don't know. I just thought it was funny that it's like it's Peter Dinklage's face is there. This is popping up after we just watched a horror movie. Is Peter Dinklage in a horror movie? He's not even in the trailer for the horror.
Confirm his presence in the movie, and he is a little scary.
Is that a dwarf joke?
No.
Okay. It could have been.
Though. What?
Oh, Jesus.
He's a little scary. Never mind.
You're a horrible person, Mike.
Yes. Yes, he is.
You said it.
Oh, crying out loud. Anyway, that was thank you for that email, John. John occasionally pops up on the Facebook group, but he follows us and comments a lot on Twitter. But he has a second email he sent us, and we already discussed this offline at one point. This is what he has to say. He goes, "Hey, guys and gal, has anyone managed to watch Saint Maud yet? I think it would be a great film for you folks to critique. Let me know what you think. Oh, and a film fact. It was filmed in the seaside town of Scarborough, England, only an hour and a bit drive from where I live. Take care and stay safe." I already responded to him, too. I mentioned that it doesn't reach the States for another month or two, maybe?
I've seen it.
Oh, it's already available now.
Well, but only one place. It's currently only available through the Epix streaming service.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you got the service.
Yeah, I was willing to sign up for it because they were doing a deal where it's for the first 2 months right now, it's 99 cents a month. So I'm like, yeah, I'll pay a dollar to watch that movie.
All right.
Yeah, I liked it.
All right. Yeah, so maybe I'll do it too. Especially if it's a sale of 99 cents, why not, right?
Yeah, I signed up through the thing in the Apple TV. I don't know if that deal is exclusive to Apple TV or whether the deal comes from Epix directly. I just don't know.
Okay. Yeah, I'll take a look at it. So, that's right. I remember you mentioning that, so that completely slipped my mind. But what we discussed was that we were going to wait until it was available for regular rent.
I believe that's what was said, yes.
Yeah. So we'll be doing that. But, I actually may do it. My wife wouldn't mind having another station, at least for a couple of months anyway, especially if it's 99 cents. So,
Once you get rid of it.
What's that again?
If you sign up for it, she won't let you get rid of it.
Yeah, no. You never know. Yeah. But what was I going to say? So you mentioned that St. Maud was pretty solid. And that we would probably put it on the list eventually. When it, yeah. So I look out for that, John, when sometime in probably late Q1 or early or late or somewhere in Q2 probably. So yeah. All right. So that's two emails from John, and we have one from someone that grew up with Eric Webster named Kevin Letts, also known as. Sometimes co-host on the Halloween Boutique Psychotronic Reviews, and he is the co-host of A Discovery of Witches, Demons, and Vampires podcast, a weekly podcast on the television series A Discovery of Witches on Shudder. And
Travel Guide to Lovecraft Country on the first season of.
That's right. Even though that podcast is over, that's true. A Travel Guide of Lovecraft Country, which is a good 12 or 13 episodes that are available to listen to, that he, myself, Mike, and Barrett were. Was Barrett a co-host? No, I don't.
Yes,
he was.
He's done so many podcasts in the last year, you can't even fucking remember.
I can't fucking remember. That's right. I don't know what's going on anymore. But yes. So you can find Kevin on that as well. And he's actually was on the Go Don't Go Halloween Boutique Psychotronic Review podcast, which is the largest listened to podcast so far on the Halloween Boutique. So wherever Kevin goes, we get listeners. He's like a lucky rabbit's foot or something. Anyway, this is what we have to.
It's the great Christian conspiracy.
Maybe so. Cleansing.
You just made it on Kevin's shit list.
I think so. He goes, Dark Discussions. Greetings, all. I just finished listening to the Cleansing Hour. Thank God I almost screwed that up. Episode. I have some responses about the episode. One, there's nothing wrong with another Exorcist movie. Sure, you can't beat the original The Exorcist, but there's always the possibility of something good like The Last Exorcism or The Exorcism of Emily Rose. Also, how many zombie movies or vampire movies are out there? We just had a couple of shark movies and an undersea monster one recently as well. Horror is kind of limited genre, so it is still open for good material. Okay, I can go with that. And then he goes, this movie reminded me of a televangelist show gone awry. The guy does much of the same thing as a televangelist, such as the cloths and other merchandise, as well as being utterly fake, especially their declaration of faith. The life show they do not believe at all. I understand the idea of seeing people all over the world and from different walks of life watching it. It shows that this show is all over the world and not limited to a particular people, group, or ethnicity. It was mentioned that demon possession was probably more mental illness back then and not actual demonic possession. I will disagree with that. One pork, though everything one pork. I don't want to read this. One pork, though everything Chrissy said is true about the illnesses that could get from that one could get from pork is true, as well as the awareness of mental illnesses was not as widely known as they are today. Mental illnesses were known at that time. There were times when Jesus did heal people who had mental illness. With the pork, though, Jews did not eat pork, so they did not have the problem with the diseases associated with it. Also, demon possession was not heard of much in what is now Israel. One of the first instances of any demonic involvement was King Saul being tormented by unclean spirits, or in other words, demons. And there is a psalm from the Dead Sea Scrolls that was titled for exorcism. It was not included in the Bible we have today, however. In many cases, when people were possessed, the possessed were lucid in that they were able to talk and carry on a conversation. Some were mute, but many conversed with Jesus, his followers, or a couple of guys who tried to exorcise someone and failed miserably. With all that said, I do believe that if someone is acting weirdly or wildly, yes, take them to the doctors for examination first. If the person is not demon-possessed, but goes through an exorcism when no demons are involved, the exorcism would do more harm than good. Only if science fails, then look into possible exorcism. Thanks for reading this, and I look forward to the next show. I hope Christy does well in her hiatus, but I will miss her input. Kevin. Comments? Opinions? Questions?
I was not on that episode, so I have.
Oh, that's right.
That whole thing where, woo! I have no idea what.
No, because I think she was talking about how like there was the Bible had forbidden pork, and part of the reason, you know, like you go back is that, you know, you could get certain diseases from eating pork. So when people say, well, why couldn't you? It's like, well, that's the reason why. For people who look to find more rational reasons for some of the edicts that were given in the Bible. Mm. So for lack of a better term. Yeah, I mean, that is always a perspective, and certainly, you know, we've had this conversation in the past about a lot of different things. Our perspective tends to be we want to enjoy the movies as movies. You know, we don't enjoy them as documentaries, although some people do, you know, so we're not looking for, is The Exorcist the authentic Exorcist experience? Some of us believe in these things, some of us do not. We should be able to enjoy the film regardless of our particular stance on these issues, our particular take on our particular faiths. But it's always good to have those perspectives.
Cool. Indeed. Well said, Mike.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, well said. Yeah, yeah. And when I was talking about the mental illness, I wasn't talking about during the biblical days. I was talking about the charlatans from, you know, 300-400 years ago, or even in the Middle Ages, that didn't really know what they were doing. But he does make a good point, because we did not clarify exactly what we were talking about.
It's meaning, almost like we have no idea what we're doing.
Almost.
True. Yeah, there you go. Now we got one more message. This one is from one of our very first emailers, David Cohen. And he mentions this. He says, hey, Dark Discussions crew, have you heard of this film, The Banishing, a brand new Christopher Creep Smith's return to classic horror roots in the haunted house movie? And then he gives a little synopsis of the film right here from IMDb. And it is, where is it? I just lost the tweeter. He goes, The Banishing tells the story of the most haunted house in England. In the 1930s, a young reverend, his wife and daughter move into a manor with horrifying secrets. It looks like an interesting film. David Carr.
I had not heard of that until now, but if it's the same Christopher Smith I'm familiar with, I'll watch it if he directed it.
Well, there can't be that many Christopher Smiths out there.
Well, Christopher Smith,
especially from England.
Pretty common name, but...
Usually they
Shudder original. It's the same guy.
Yeah, usually they do try to avoid that, where actors will I know actors, I don't know about how that works for directors, where to have, because they try not to use the same name that's already there. So even if they do, you know, they'll throw a middle initial in there, they'll spell it differently.
Well, on IMDb, he is listed as Christopher Smith, Roman numeral 8.
Yeah, well.
And they're promoting it as, let me see here. Him as Christopher Creep Smith, too, for some reason. But either way, oh, because of his film Creep. Duh. But either way, it is coming on Shudder. I believe may be, as Eric said, a film that we will probably all check out and maybe even do a podcast on, since, yeah, we've done every Christopher Smith horror film that he's done. So,
One of my favorites.
Straight to Shudder. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Unfortunately, he's not prolific, but he's definitely one of the best. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he had been prolific for a while, wasn't he? Like churning out like a movie every other year or every year early in his career.
Yeah. At the beginning of our podcast, which was 2011, 12, yeah, 13,
Creep was 2004, Severance 2006, Triangle 2009, yeah. Black Death 2010, and then he was involved with the TV miniseries Labyrinth. 2012, that's Get right. Santa 2014, Detour 2016, and he's been working since then, but mostly television.
So sort of like Neil Marshall, Alex, you know, writer. Doing...
Yeah, like Neil Marshall, yeah, kind of like that. Yeah, and
it's all vanishing. Like, what's the pay his bills?
Yeah. Hey, well, look, a lot of these guys, they want the work, and the TV working, and you know, making your own movie is a cool thing, but a network TV show will probably pay them a lot more than them making their own indie film.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's also a way to network and get, you know, noticed and so on and so forth to get regular employment.
Right. And I don't know how the whole financial system works when you're doing television. But I just finished up the series Criminal Minds, which just closed its doors after 15 seasons, as did Supernatural this year. And I'm thinking, if you're in a television show for 15 seasons, you've got to be set pretty well financially.
Here's an interesting thing for you there, Eric. Mm-hmm. I saw this on YouTube, so you know it has to be true. So they were going over like the most expensive TV episodes ever made.
Mm-hmm.
So the TV series WandaVision, which is running the MCU film series rather on Disney Plus.
I've heard of it.
Yeah, we all know what it is. Yeah, we got to move on.
Well, I'm saying it for the audience. They're $25 million an episode.
Good God, Disney's got too much money.
But wait, Supernatural, $200,000 for the entire first season.
That's how you stretch a dollar.
And you're wondering why everyone was just all the ghosts were somebody with the contact lens in. You know, it's just
hey, it worked.
It worked. I am very much enjoying WandaVision, don't get me wrong, but the money does not always guarantee quality.
That is true.
Yes, we all would agree with that statement. Now we can talk about all that stuff after at the end of our episode and news and just random topics. Obviously, we were just reading the emails and we didn't want to go on tangents. That's the only reason why I was interrupting you, Mike.
I didn't want to go on tangents. Mike and I are over here on a tangent.
Oh, so you wanted to go on that too?
Just busting balls.
Gotcha. Not a problem. I'm just worried that someone like Pam, by the way, this is February 25th, 2021. Pam, one of our listeners, always likes to know when we record. But she also was the one that said, why don't you put all that crap at the end of the episode?
You're the one that started reading emails.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't expecting the side topics. But
you can get the emails later.
That's true.
It is your fault. Do not blame us.
Gentlemen, I just have one question. Did we just go off on a tangent about tangents?
I think so. So, yeah. So
going
forward, we may have to do some of the emails.
We accepted a tangent.
We're a tangent inside another tangent. Inside the other tangent.
Okay, so Mike has obviously had too much sugar tonight. So let's get into our topic tonight. So, Eric, what are we going to discuss tonight?
Tonight, we're talking about a movie that's available through Netflix called Red Dot.
Oh! Vad fan var det?
Jävla tönt. David.
Va?
Hallå? Hallå?
Älskling, den är på dig. Titta. Hallå, lägg av! Hallå, lägg av! Lägg av!
That's right. Red Dot is a film from Sweden, so they're all Swedes. It is on Netflix. It stars Nana Blondell, who is actually can speak English, so she's actually going to be one of the stars, oddly, of Black Widow. But yeah, she actually, even though she's a Swedish actress, she's starring as supporting actress in that film. Otherwise, everybody else in the film, including the other lead, Anastasios Solis, are all mostly probably familiar with by the Swedish folk, but we wouldn't know who they are. So yeah, that's pretty much it. Oh, Alan Darborg is the director, and he wrote it or co-wrote it with Pierre Dixon. So that's all I got. Oh, Rotten Tomatoes, only 7 reviews, no one of importance. Got about 80% good reviews out of from
just
the 7.
Made one of those reviewers cry.
And then. Well, no. Well, it's not the main folk. And then there's been over 100 people who have watched it, you know, plus 100 plus, you know, regular viewers. And it has like 32% that liked it. So
really?
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess we can get
must
into
be dog people.
I guess we can get into our film and discuss how we heard about it and what we felt about it. And so, Mike, why don't you start?
I heard about it because I was watching a thing on Netflix, probably for this podcast, and it popped up as Red Dot, and I didn't really pay any heed to it. And then I think it was last week or the week before that Eric had suggested, I'd mentioned it, and then we decided to do an episode on it. So, that's kind of how I found out about it, and we watched it. My wife and I watched it over the weekend, and yeah, I liked it. There are small issues I have with it, but there are issues that mostly I think kind of got fixed by the end. It is kind of a really kind of a depressing film, I think, in a lot of ways, not just for the dog people, but especially for the dog people. You know, basically the only thing that made me feel good is that, you know, it's just, you know, seeing that Americans aren't the only ones with race problems. But yeah, it was basically got to the point in the film where I couldn't root for anybody anymore. And the only person I could maybe root for wasn't actually even in the film. So we'll talk about that. So, yeah, it just really was in a weird place. And I just kind of watched the events transpire on screen, which were still compelling, but I stopped being quite as emotionally invested.
All right. Sounds good. Yeah, for me, I heard about it through Dustin Watson. He's a podcaster, and he posted something on a Facebook page and about it. And so I said, a 2021 film. We haven't done one yet. Maybe this is the one. So that's how I heard about it. I feel very much like Mike. There were some things that were very problematic with it that oddly were answered by the end. So I was like, okay, thank God they answered it. But I was not a real fan of this film. Like Mike said, I hated all the characters. Maybe one guy was okay, a rescue worker guy. But otherwise, I wanted everybody to die. So I didn't. Yeah. So when I'm into everybody dies, that means I usually are not really enjoying the film anymore.
But you're also much more, I think, black and white about some of these things than I am. But still, they didn't deserve that dog's loyalty.
No, not at all. Not at all. They didn't even deserve the dog. But either way, the first half, I kind of knew right away that the whole thing was a red herring and it was going to be something else. And then there's something else they suddenly put up out of the blue, and it's like, what the hell is this? And then the second half, the twist that makes it a completely different film. And I was like, at least it wasn't the thing I thought it was going to be, which was, I guess, good, because we've seen that hundreds of times. But I didn't really enjoy that second part much either, because at that point I didn't like any of the characters. So it was all right. I'm with the Rotten Tomatoes regular people, which is like 32% good, and the rest was so Eric, what do you got?
I also heard of this from Dustin Watson. Apparently he's on the PR team for Netflix. he saw me posting while I was doing my winter movie festival. And he messaged me and was like, hey, if you're doing winter movies, you might want to check out this one, because it feels so cold in the middle of the movie. I was like, okay. So he was right about that. And I watched it, and I don't have a lot different to say than Mike and Phil. I didn't think it was an awful movie, but I didn't think it was a great movie either. It was fine. And Mike already referenced Dog People. Trigger warning for people who can't stand when dogs die in movies. It happens here, and it's particularly nasty. I mean, generally, dog deaths in movies don't get to me. This one was particularly brutal. So if that kind of thing bothers you, you might want to skip this one.
Right.
But
well,
in fairness, I thought it was pretty well done. I agree about the twist being kind of weird, the way they did it. It was really just kind of a timeline storytelling trick that they pulled on us, rather than laying everything out in sequence. But I didn't hate it. I thought it was okay.
Yeah, I think it's technically, I wouldn't say it's the dog's death, which happens off screen.
I think you know what I'm referring to.
It's the dog's aftermath. Just in case people who are like, that this might be a deciding factor.
Right. But it's the same principle. Whether it's just saying, aftermath
normally I make fun of Phil for getting upset about dog deaths in movies. I'm not going to make fun of him for getting upset about the one in this movie. That's what I'm saying.
No, and it's a good thing you warned him going in.
Yeah, exactly. And then right as I started the film and I saw the dog, I go, that's right, this dog's dead. Because Eric told me. But Watson may be a Netflix a PR person, but I guess we're kind of Shudder PR people over here. So
true.
To each their own. Yeah. All right. So, Eric, do we have a wiki?
When Nadja becomes pregnant, they make an attempt to rekindle their relationship by traveling to the north of Sweden for a hiking trip. But soon their romantic trip turns into a nightmare.
Yeah, that sums up pretty much right there. Yeah.
By the way, I added punctuation to that. There wasn't much.
Well, what are you going to do with that?
Those bastards.
The film you can watch either in subtitle or dubbed. So for folks who are curious, I watched it in dubbed because that was the default. So I just went with it. I'm assuming you guys switched it to subtitles.
I don't. I can't remember.
Mine automatically played in subtitles.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, well, I don't know why mine was dubbed and yours went to sub. But either way, it was fine.
Weren't they speaking English for a lot of the movie anyway?
No, there's like the one moment where he says "fuck" something when he gets out in the cold.
I must have gotten the dub. I guess they did a good job because I didn't notice.
And there wasn't a huge amount of dialogue in it. Well, I mean, I guess there is at the beginning.
Yeah, that,
like the first half hour, I
suppose. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, well, that's a fair point. But yeah, either way, it was just a curiosity, so you can watch it either way, so depending on your preference. So you can watch it subtitled with, or you could watch it a third way, which is learn Swedish and just watch it that way.
That dedication to watching the movie.
And no one help if you want to watch learn Swedish is just watch the binge watch the Muppet Show on Disney Plus and pay attention to those Swedish Chef episodes.
Read your hard.
That's right. I actually in high school I wanted to take Norwegian, so I could understand the Norwegians in the thing, but they don't teach Norwegian.
They're fucking Swedes.
Anyway, so my neighbor, she's from South Korea, and I told her to watch Black Summer and tell me what the Korean woman said in that whole show because I had no idea what she said, and there's no subtitles. But so
you have the option to do foreigners that. To do your bidding.
No, I'm saying I recommended it, and then I said, "Oh, if you do watch it, let me know what she says because I don't know what she says."
So, you watch Black Summer and translate for me.
That's right. Hey, I was willing to pay her, I guess. I don't know.
I think the point is that you don't understand what she says.
That's obviously, yeah.
Don't we have an app on the phone for that now?
We do, actually.
We actually interviewed that director. We should have demanded him. Tell us what she said. But no big deal. All right, so let's get into the film here. I have a couple. I have 100 shares. Yeah, 100 shares. So anyway, let's talk about this film here. What do we want to discuss first? I guess the setup. It's basically a guy is graduating from college with a civil engineering degree. His fiance is, or his girlfriend, I should say, is there. Graduated him during the ceremony. And then he tries to do this funny thing where he's going to propose to her on the radio and it's going to play throughout the college and she's going to hear it. But that goes wrong because they hang up on him after a little bit. But she knows what's going on and, you know, happy they're going to get married and all that stuff. So that's a setup. And then they do a flash forward and all that stuff. But what do we want to talk about? Where do we want to go? What do we want to
do? Well, let's throw up a spoiler flag first of all, because I think we gave our general thoughts already.
Yeah, that's fair.
And because I think in order to have any kind of coherent conversation about this, we're going to have to deal with the jumps in time as we go through the movie. Right here at the beginning, you see the proposal, and then it like flashes to like they don't like put anything on the screen to tell you how much further later it is, but it's clearly later and they're clearly having relationship problems and you don't know why.
That's right. Now we have to
married and
bring up one thing. That's true. That is absolutely true. But we have to add one thing of note, and Mike kind of brought it up in passing earlier. The wife is a person of color, and that's somewhat important to the plot, right?
No, it is.
Otherwise, I wouldn't even mention it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I would not mention it otherwise, but because it's somewhat.
It's a major plot point.
Sort of.
Yeah. Sort of. Yeah. It's part of the red herring. It's part of the red herring.
I think. Now, my first thought was, why did they even show you the proposal, then jump forward a year and a half? And I think it was, you know, because they don't. They're not in the bad place.
They're warning us, Mike, not to get married.
Well, no. I mean, look, anyone's. I'm not taking a shot at marriage. I'm just saying it's you're in a relationship with someone. You have ups and you have downs, and especially happy earlier in a marriage, and you're working things out and you're figuring things out. I got the sense that they've been married like a year and a half or something like that, or 2 years.
Yeah, it makes sense. Sure.
That it hadn't been that long. And I guess I thought they were just trying to show these characters as likable as opposed to starting them in sort of a miserable place. But they're really not in a miserable place for very long. Because, you know, it takes very little time for him to turn on the charm and seduce her to run away with him to the vast frozen fields of Norwegia, or wherever they are. You know, and to go see the mighty fjords. I just go and like stumble around on the permafrost is what they were doing. And I just, you know, so other than that, it seemed like, you know, they started bad, but you kind of liked them as a couple at that point. I did. Mm-hmm. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah. At that point. Yeah. It was when the leaving accidents and kings and all that's when I said, all right, these people kill them. But yeah, before that, you're right. At that
you
point,
were going to kill
like,
them over a
you damn,
fender?
In a movie? In a movie? Absolutely. In
so
fiction,
Phil thinks people who key
movies.
Cards should be executed.
In movies, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Hey, if you ever run for office, we have to make sure we send this to the opposition.
In movies. In
Shit, he
movies.
Might run on that, but he might win on that platform.
Yeah, this is America. I'd have to move to Texas.
In movies, they deserve to die. Absolutely. So anyway, no one does that. That's rude. Anyway, continue, Mike. Go ahead.
No, people do that. And you know what? If they were right, and we don't actually know if they were right or not, I would back up the Car King honestly in that particular.
I understand the impulse, but it's a dumb thing to do.
Oh, it's a dumb thing to do. But in terms of if you're gonna ask me, was it a morally right, you know, wrong thing? Would I like if they came home over the weekend, like after the weekend, and said, "Oh my God, you won't believe what happened. These people wrote this thing on our car, and so we keyed their car." I would have laughed at it. I would not have condemned them for it. I would have told them they were dumb for doing
it. Mike. They already hit the guy's car and left the accident.
I understand that.
That was their and then the other people escalated by scratching their car, and then they escalated.
Oh, they didn't just scratch their
car and hurt in the German Shepherd.
They didn't just.
Nah, there was a racial slur involved, in case you don't remember that.
No, that was even further down. The first one was where they
the king came after the racial slur. That's why she was so mad.
Exactly.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, okay. All right. Yeah. But we don't know.
We don't know if they did it. Yeah.
We don't know if they did it. Exactly.
Right. But I'm saying, if they were right. That's why I put that there.
Yeah.
Because if they were racist assholes, then I really don't care about the rest of it.
Right. But don't know that.
No, I don't. That's again why I hung the sign. If they were right,
it was also a stupid way she did it.
Yeah.
It was out and open.
Oh
even,
yeah. Well,
even
clearly,
if they were guilty, even if they were guilty, it was stupid.
Yeah, well, clearly they don't have any experience.
Those people earlier in the gas station, and clearly it was not somebody that you'd really want to mess with. When he comes out with the German Shepherd and catches her in the act of scratching his truck, at that point I was just like, okay, right now pretty much she deserves whatever happens.
Right, and let's be clear, part of the problem I had with this was just the logistics. Was these were people who were armed with a big dog. You know, they had a, what was it, an elk head in the back of their truck?
Yeah, they're hunters.
Yeah, they're hunters. And they were not in some place, like there was a city where there was all sorts of turns that they could make and alleys they could duck behind. And nope, this is pretty much flat area.
But even
if
all
they
that,
got in the car and drove off, they'd be able to see where they went. And I didn't get the sense that there were a lot of places that they could have like turned and not been caught to. So it was stupid on that regard too.
But even all that didn't even matter, because the moment he bumped and hit the guy's car and dented it, he should have not ran, and he should have called a police officer to write all the information down and whatnot.
Oh, he should have. And they were giving us a sign about who he was that was going to come into play later. But it's also at the same time the kind of thing that we have seen in plenty of movies before, where someone does a thing that's stupid, but it does a stupid thing to the wrong person,
right,
and ends up paying a price way out of proportion. But in this case, that is a red herring. And that's what they want you to think. That's what they're trying to get you to do. So, I mean, look, he did something. He's young. He's stupid. He did something stupid. But on a scale of like of all the horrible things one can do in the world, a little bump on somebody's fender and leaving without leaving a note is bad. It is worse than not putting your shopping cart back in, you know, at the store. It's definitely worse than that. But, you know, it's not like talking in a movie theater bad. You know, it's just...
What's a movie theater?
Yeah, it's just... it's.
Oh, my God, Phil, you made a funny joke.
Yeah. Thank you. It's not. I say as sins go, Phil, it's a fairly minor one compared to the long list. I mean, that would be really what, a misdemeanor at best.
Well, it's 0.2 on Phil's platform when he runs for office.
Yeah.
Anybody who's an offender better should be executed.
In a movie. Especially when the characters are characters.
Everybody should die.
Yeah,
don't like the character completely 100% good 100% of the time. Any mistake anybody does any time, they should be executed.
And by the way, point number one, if you're anyone wondering, point number one on his platform is anyone who makes a movie in which the dog dies should die. For real.
Vote for Phil.
Well,
no more dog deaths.
Well, this is what happened. Basically, what happened is, We have a scene prior where she's crying in the laundry room because she has to go use the laundry room because her husband hasn't fixed the washing machine, and that's where their fight goes. And so when she's in the laundry room, a neighbor comes over to use it, and she's crying, and he goes, "What's going on? What's the problem?" And she says that I'm pregnant, and I don't know how my relationship's going right now, so I am worried about the pregnancy, because if they divorce or whatever. But they're lucky because the husband decides to make up with her by doing this trip that we're talking about, and so that's the whole setup before all this. But now let's get into back to the other part. So, yeah, but the thing is if I hit someone's car and leave, it would not surprise me if those people, assuming it is those people, got their vengeance on me by using a key on my car. It happens. Comments, opinions, questions?
No, it's just uninteresting.
Maybe like this movie. I don't know.
I don't think he used a key, actually. I think it was a Sharpie.
Well, no. They scraped the car on the side, and then they used a racial slur with the Sharpie.
On the bumper sticker.
Did they? I missed the scrape on the side. I just saw the bumper sticker.
I didn't see that, but I don't even know if it was one. I don't even know if it was one that they put there. I just saw the racial slur, because that's the kind of thing that tends to stand out in my eyes.
Right. Well, the only reason it stood out was because they said it, because it was in Swedish, and so it's like, I don't know what that says. So it didn't stick out to me until she said what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he sees the scrape on the car first. But even before the scrape, right? They're checking into the hotel, and the guy behind the counter is kind of creepy too.
Well, yeah, and they're just trying to make you suspect everybody's. My impression was that, like, the guys that they bumped live in this town, and everybody in this town is like part of one big happy family, and word had already gotten around, and they're all against this couple with the black woman because they're racist and all that.
Right, right. Yeah, I was getting the similar vibes with this film as we did with that Calibre film that we did.
Calibre?
Yeah, Calibre. where outsiders come in, everybody's after them. But since they didn't show who did this, the king and all this other stuff, I was already thinking it was going to be a red herring anyway, and that the people that we're supposed to think are the bad guys are not going to be the bad guys. But by bringing in the hotel manager to be a little skeevy too, makes it feel, like you said, Eric, more of a town thing rather than just a handful of characters.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that was okay, I guess, because if we're going to rule out possibly the two guys with the truck, then we have to think, okay, it's going to be more than that. Now, did you guys get anywhere in this that it was just going to be a thriller type thing? Or did you guys think it was going to turn into like some supernatural, like cult thing or anything like that?
I never thought this was going anywhere supernatural.
Yeah. I just figured this was purely a, you know, like duel or something where it was just a straight up revenge plot, or you pissed off the wrong person plot, or whatever. Yeah, I had no suspicion of anything other than that. I agree with you. I think it was an obvious red herring. You know, they deliberately withheld information from the audience and anyone who's seen, you know, 403 movies like this that we have. You know, we'll see that coming a mile away. Yeah, but I didn't get any sense that we were going to go into like ritual territory.
The only reason I thought maybe it could have gone into ritual territory is because the film was also kind of a little bit like Kill List. You remember that film by Ben Wheatley, the director from England?
Yeah,
that was a while ago.
Yeah, and that one turned into a cult film too. But yeah, I was pretty much, even though it kind of reminded me of Kill List a little bit, I didn't think it was going to go that route either, Mike. I thought it was going to be someone else that was just some psycho out in the woods or something.
Well, I figured they weren't going to piss off the psychos, and then they were going to find out they pissed them off for no reason, you know, and that they brought it down on themselves.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of where we were all going, I think, you know, figuring that was what was going to happen. And then mm-hmm. whether or not another party was going to get involved was my only question, right? Was there, you know, is there going to be somebody a bigger, badder, bad than the Hunters? You know, who is the real culprit for writing that? Or are we going to find something out at the end that was like some 12-year-old kid just wrote a word that would get me fired from the New York Times for speaking of on the back of their right. On the back of their car?
Yes, Mr. Well, McNeil.
And yeah. there was one really dumb thing I noticed. Yeah, I don't know why I notice things like this sometimes. But when they wake up the next morning at the inn, the first thing that the girlfriend does is she goes to this window and opens it up all the way and sticks her head outside. And like, first I'm thinking, like, I don't know of any hotel that you could stay in where you'd be able to open a window that wide. And also, who does that in the freaking northern tundras of Norwegia? It's fucking cold outside.
Fucking Swedes.
With the window open.
And who has windows without screens, except in movies?
Right.
Well, I don't see, this is where my being an ignorant American comes in handy, because, you know, I just assume that that building, you know, has probably been standing in Sweden for 900 years or something before there were building codes that required screens. You know, I mean, look, obviously, in the United States, the vast majority of our hotels have been built within like the last 30 years and all had to have rules about don't open the windows because somebody could suicide.
Right.
You know, so we don't get opening windows here in the United States most of the time.
No, but did you guys notice that while you're watching the movie?
No, I didn't even consider that. I just,
I guess it's just me.
I'm just talking about bugs. You have to have the screen.
Yeah, but it's, they probably take them out. I don't know.
Yeah.
There are no bugs in Norwegia.
Maybe not. Maybe not. Yeah, so... yeah, so really what it was is they're going to do one night camping so they can see the northern lights. Though I don't see why you can't see the northern lights right from the parking lot. And then they were going to do three more nights at the hotel itself.
I mean, the thing with the – I don't know how dramatic a difference it is for the northern lights, for the Aurora Borealis, but like you know, if you want to see the stars, you can't see it in an urban setting. You know, there's just too much light pollution and you don't get a good look. So I understand going out in the middle of nowhere to get a good look at the stars.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Yeah, so I get that, but I, you know, those are stars, they're not the Aurora Borealis, and I have no idea. If somebody knows, hey, I'd love to hear about it. I just never really thought about it because I've never felt like getting that cold to see them.
I was going to say, I just don't understand the whole concept of intentionally driving out into the middle of fucking nowhere and freezing your ass off. That makes no sense to me.
I mean, I would totally go do like Chevy Chase at the Grand Canyon, go drive out like an hour or so out with the heater on, get out of the car, go, okay, kids, northern lights, back in the car, and go back to the hotel where it's nice and warm.
Yeah, right. Because, I mean, that's true. I mean, I know some people will do this weird camping in the middle of the winter, but most people will wait until the summer. But you're right. That's what I was thinking, which is why don't they just go out to this remote area, you know, sit there for like 20 minutes or so, like Chevy Chase did, or
but then we wouldn't have a movie. So
right. That's true. Right. That's true. Yep. Exactly. And by the way, they're bringing their dog with them. You won't forget, and they have their
dog.
It's some sort of spaniel.
Poor little buddy.
Yeah. Oh,
and
Boris.
I'm just
his
thinking,
name's
like,
Boris. His name's Boris.
Who like brings the dog? Like it's fucking cold out. What happens if the dog has to take a shit in the middle of the night? You got to open the tent and let the dog out.
Right.
I think the dog was a whole bad idea.
No, that's not a
dogs
big deal.
Are generally a bad idea.
Yeah, that's not true, Mike. Once you take the dog out for the bathroom before bed, they're good until the morning. You should know this. You've had dogs.
Oh, I have.
Yeah.
Never gotten dogs with one.
And dogs are real good. Real good.
Some dogs are good.
Some dogs can be crappy too. There's no doubt.
Yes. Dogs are better than people. I'll give them that.
Well, all animals are better than people, except maybe ticks.
I was waiting with anticipation to hear what was going to come out of your mouth, and I was not expecting ticks.
I was going to say mosquitoes, but I went with ticks instead. I felt it was a weird thing, and you could tell she was miserable. She was like, they're laying watching the.
She's like, yeah, honey, this is great.
Yeah, she's not too happy about it. She's like, I wish we were back at the hotel. Yeah, it looked like a nice hotel too. It had like the nice you know they were going to have a nice beef stew in there, Swedish meatballs, all the good stuff. Yeah. But yeah, then we get our red dot.
Yes. They're sitting in the tent trying to enjoy themselves. And all of a sudden a laser pointer shows up.
Oh, you know what's funny? Is I've seen Terminator, and I'm sure everybody else in the world has seen Terminator, so you would think it's not just a laser pointer.
Well, they thought it was just some kid fucking around, because it makes sense that that's what you would think. Because usually it's not people's first thought that someone is going to hunt me. Even though I just got caught keying the car of a couple of racist assholes just a few miles down the road.
Mm-hmm.
We think. They don't know they're in a horror movie. Well, we do. So, yeah. Okay. I can understand. You're right. Yeah. They think it's just some kid fiddling with a laser pointer. That clears that issue up for me. Thank you.
That would be my guess. I mean, they could just be, you know, idiots.
Well, it quickly becomes apparent that it's not just a laser pointer. When shots start being fired, I forget what happens first. Does the dog run away first, or do they start shooting first?
The dog runs first.
The dog runs first, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Boris runs away because I guess he hears something or sees something or whatever. And then the gun starts firing. And so they're like trying to look for cover, but the guy is worried about the dog and it's all sorts of chaos. And for some, you know, this is, I watched this a couple of weeks ago. It's a little fuzzy for me, but for some reason they decide to abandon the tent and head for the tree line. Am I getting that right?
Yeah. I wasn't sure if they were heading for the tree line or were heading for the way where their car was. I don't know what they were doing.
I think they were running away from the red dot and probably, you know, and the tree line would make a lot, because the tent
would
the tent is not usually a place you go for refuge from bullets.
right, and this is like a big plain or a field or a prairie or something, and so they're out in the middle of open, so yeah, they're heading for the tree line. Yeah. And then we have the platoon moment, which was awesome. If you know what my reference is from the movie Platoon, where in the movie Platoon, that's what they show in that movie, where they shoot these flares up. And so the Viet Cong shoots the flares up.
Okay.
And then suddenly everything lights up and the Americans are like, holy shit. And then you hear the Viet Cong going, you know, speaking in Vietnamese, and it's like really scary. It's not even a horror film. It was a scary film. But yeah, so that pulled. They have one of those flares, and it's not like the regular flares. It's the ones that just sit there and hang, and so it literally lights up the entire like prairie. So it's like 500 yards or something, and they're fucked because they're sitting ducks, and everybody can see them.
They're fucked ducks.
And I think at that moment they actually see one of the hunter, right? Isn't this one of the times they see him in the distance? I can't remember.
I think they see somebody, but I don't think they're identifiable.
Right.
Yeah. So that was a cool scene. That was probably the best scene of the film, I think.
It was good.
Oh, you know what really pissed me off, though, about this film?
Was a few things, had, apparently.
actually, a lot of things. But they did, even before when the guy gets his degree at college, they do one of those stupid things where they flash forward, 2 years in the future, and we see them saying him going, "It's not her, it's not her fault," and you hear a gun go click click and stuff. So in other words, they flash forward that they're going to be in this situation. You know what I'm talking about? You remember that?
Neither do I.
So if you watch it and you press play, the first thing that comes on is the end scene where they're showing him looking at somebody saying, it's not her fault. And then you see her running away through the forest or something. And so when this scene happens now with the Fleer and all that, it's like, okay, so that's why they did that flash forward. And we already know that he's going to be hurt because of that early scene. So yeah, that's good. You guys don't remember it because it didn't ruin it as much as it did for me. Because those type of scenes always ruin stuff for me. You know,
I don't know why I don't remember that.
Yeah, that is interesting. Yeah, well, I just watched it last night, so it's fresh.
I don't disbelieve you. I just don't remember it.
right. Yeah, and it's only for like 30 seconds,
mm-hmm.
and then they do the quick credit and they go to the civil engineering degree moment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But a lot of films do that, though, you know, and mm-hmm. I've never liked films doing that.
So you don't like Pulp Fiction?
That's different because that was more episodic. And so you didn't know that was going to be related to anything in the film. This is a little different.
I know. Well, I'm messing with you.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
I think this is just...
I just wanted to get you to say you didn't like Pulp Fiction so we could get angry emails about it.
Oh, my God. Pulp Fiction's the best, dude.
Yeah, I think
Best Picture.
Yeah, I think, Phil, it was just a... I think it was another red herring to try to get us to think it was the fender bender that was going to get them in trouble. Because, I mean, we know what the premise of the film is. I mean, not a lot of people actually watch movies blind. So we know something bad is going to happen, right? We didn't stumble upon this looking for the latest Hallmark movie.
Right.
So we know whoever our characters are, something bad is happening to them. So I think I'm guessing... that him saying that it wasn't her, it was me, is so that we would understand why that it was that. Oh, he's good. So that when we see, it's his fault because he's the one that chose to drive away, and she told him not to drive away, and that's why. Which mm-hmm. is, of course, why it happened, but not really.
Right. So yeah, we hear some. Doggy being harmed noises. And then I guess they just kind of hide overnight. And then in the morning, go back to the tent for the car keys. And the dude goes in the tent and immediately comes back out and pukes. You're like, oh, that's not a good sign. and he goes back in the tent and poor Boris. Not only did whoever attacked them kill Boris, but they chopped his head off and left it in the sleeping bag. Oh, and I've never actually beheaded a dog, so I don't know if it was realistic, but it was certainly disturbing.
Yeah. And I don't know if it did or did not have, like, the tongue hanging out the side, but in my head, it does.
It did, yeah.
It did. Like the dog going, hey, happy to see me. It's just...
It was pretty brutal.
It was creepy. Oh, yeah.
So then the guy's searching through the tent trying to find his key and his keys and his phone. And they left a present for him in there besides the head of the dog, which was... a trap. So he gets it's not big enough to be a bear trap, but that same type of jaw trap on his arm. And that's not good.
Yeah. So just so everyone's aware now, this makes, the second film in a week in which it's a couple in the cold and their dog dies and the guy gets caught in a bear trap or an animal trap.
Right.
We have gone a really long time, I think, since the last time this happened. I don't even know when the last time we did a film where both of those things happened, if we ever have done one in almost 500 episodes. And then we get two of them in a week. or well, in 8 days.
At this point, all I have to say is those traps seem to be awfully effective.
Yeah, or not, depending on your point of view.
Okay, yeah.
they seem to be missing their mark.
We all knew why he came out and he threw up. I didn't. I mean, I thought I wasn't sure. I didn't.
Well, no, I did too. I didn't.
I didn't think it was going to be the head.
Show us what they showed us, which was the actual decapitated head of Boris. I was just like, oh man.
Yeah, that was terrible. But either way, the little bear trap thing, it was a good setup to get him to, yeah, basically. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they got him good, too, because the blood, they used real blood. It wasn't CGI blood. They used, like, some fake, you know, non-CGI fake blood. And it looked really pretty impressive.
I thought you meant, like, they actually clamped a trap on the actor's arm to get him to bleed. I was like, wow, that's
magic. That would have been cool. I would see that. Yeah, that's epic, man. Yeah. But no, whatever, you know, I would love to see how they did it, where they probably have like little hoses underneath his clothes and stuff, and then they had it spurt out. But it was pretty effective. It was a pretty good scene.
Mm-hmm.
When that happened, I thought there was going to be more traps. I was just like thinking, oh, it's going to be like the last movie. He's going to fall into another one.
Oh, no, I'm in the trap. Let me fall down over here. Oh, there's another trap.
Yeah, that kind of would have been an even more amazing coincidence.
Speaking of Christopher Smith and Severance, where that happens.
Yes, I was the only other film I was thinking of that we may have covered, because we've covered, in which there was a person in a bear trap.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was an awesome one.
Yep. So he's injured, and they're in the middle of nowhere, and they can't get back to their car, and they don't have a phone.
And you know the car, if they had shown the car, you know the car was going to be have all the tires popped anywhere and stuff.
Yeah. So they just start trucking into the cold. I honestly
it's
don't.
A thing you do.
If they had any idea where they were going, it wasn't clear to me.
Well, they did talk with the Chekhov's map earlier, where they say, well, there's another cabin over here that you can use. And so I think they were heading that way.
Yeah. Because the
bartender manager said you can use that cabin when you're out in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
Which is an awfully, weird, like, blind invite. You know, you can come in, you can drink my beer, you could be in my jacuzzi, whatever. It's like you just give this offer to everybody who wanders into your hotel or your bar or whatever it was. It just okay.
Well, you're right, Mark. Mike, not Mark. You're right. Most people would think that's a little weird, but I do know there's living where I live, there is some hotels that do that where they have these extra little huts that you can use, and because their property is like huge, and then even the state park has these huts that you can use too. So I was thinking it was that, but I don't think that's what they were intending. They were probably intending us to think that was, oh, that's awfully generous of them.
Yeah, well, and I think that is what it is, except we find out later why that is what it is.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, they don't offer it to everybody.
No.
It's only these people.
Oh, yes.
So we at this point, he sees this person in a yellow jacket. And he goes, I still see it. And it's like, you can tell is he like hallucinating or something? What the hell's going on here? And then she's talking, I'm like, yeah, I know, don't worry about it, and whatever. And it's like, hold it. So is this guy mentally ill? And she knows that he has these panic attacks or schizophrenic attacks or something. And that's where I was like completely confused. But fortunately, it all pays off at the end. It's just that, is it okay that they went there, or was this just another like strange revenge thriller twist? What did you guys think when we saw the yellow vested kid that he sees and she says, yeah, don't worry about it. Don't, just keep on moving. Did you think it was mental illness or something? What did you guys think? I didn't know what the hell was going on.
I just thought it was one of the people chasing them. I didn't realize it was a kid. I didn't even make the connection until you just brought it up now.
Sorry.
Wait
for a moment. What was the full question?
At this point, when they're trekking to that cabin in the woods, he sees a person in a yellow jacket, mm-hmm. and he stops, starts crying, and he goes, I still see him, and, you know, to his girlfriend, or his wife, I should say, at this point. She says, I know, just forget about it, keep on moving.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, I was completely lost, because it's like, what? And then I'm thinking, okay, he's schizophrenic and he's mentally ill, and she knows this.
Well, I don't think you're supposed to fully understand yet at that point. I also don't think it was while they were going to the cabin. It was after they'd been at the cabin, which one of the moments where I was yelling at my television, because at one point they see the guy approaching and they think it's the dude that's after them. So they kind of crawl out the window and they're trying to stay away from the dude. And they see this little opening, like a little cave, and they want to crawl into the cave and hide. And like, as soon as I saw that cave, I'm like, don't go in there. There's a bear in there. You stupid idiots. What is your problem? I've never been camping in my life, and I was immediately able to know there was a bear in there.
Well, only because it was a movie. I mean, in real life,
actually out somewhere and saw a cave like that, my thought wouldn't be, hey, let me go in there. That'll be safe.
Well, I wouldn't just go in there for shits and giggles, but if it was, there's a guy with a gun who I think is going to try to kill me, and a little den that has a 50% chance of having a sleeping bear in it, I'll take my chance with the sleeping bear over the guy with the gun.
Well, let me ask you this. Did you really think, even though it was one of the two guys that they keyed the car, did you guys really think, because he was the rescue guy, they called the rescue guy, and the rescue guy said, I'm coming, whatever. And then he shows up, and he's clearly marked rescue, and he has the orange vest that says rescue and all that, even if it is in Swedish. I'm assuming she can read Swedish. So did you really think he was the murderer? Obviously.
At that point in the movie, I did not.
I did not either. But would it be realistic they would think that he could possibly be the murderer?
Yeah.
Well, it's possible for somebody to be a rescue worker and a murderer.
Yeah. They've already convinced themselves. They've convinced themselves that this is the case, right? They're already convinced of that. They have just been through a traumatic experience, and I doubt that they are in anything remotely close to their right minds, even though they've had a few hours.
But if they had believed the guy, everything would have been safe, and they would have been saved.
Yeah, but they had no reason to believe him after everything they'd been through. They had convinced themselves a thing was true.
So they tried to kill.
And so they... oopsie!
Yeah, they shoot him with a flare. Oopsie. It's like, holy shit. Yeah. I couldn't believe it. I was going... Oh my. And that made me even hate these people more. It's because they just shot a guy.
You have a lot of hate in your heart, Phil.
Yeah.
Might want to talk to somebody about that.
No, but see, that to me, again, it's
characters in a movie, yeah.
It's that again to me is an understandable mistake. I'd feel terribly for the person that we think maybe was a racist that got shot with the flare gun. And that makes it a tragic thing. But it's the kind of thing where people go, yeah, okay, I can understand why you would do that. But this is why, again, we knew that they weren't going to be the bad guys. And therefore, that makes that moment particularly horrific because you know they just did that. And at the same time, was this the first time or maybe the second? They did have several opportunities in this film. You know that none of them have played role-playing games because at no point did they take down a character, you know, their opponent, and loot them for weapons. You know? They're like, oh my God, we just took out this guy who has a gun. We better run before the people with a gun come after us. Pick up the fucking gun. This isn't like a sci-fi film or something where they've got the trigger locks or, you know, like the palm recognition software.
Yeah, you've got a point. You do have a point.
Yeah, because I was thinking of that later in the film during the climax when they just run instead of just clubbing the guy at that point. But you're right. They could have done it here, too. So, yeah, these characters are stupid. They haven't watched any horror films. You always make sure the guy never gets up again, and if there's a weapon, you always get it.
Exactly. Don't give me this bullshit about the guy being a gamer, you know, because he played Battlefield. No, bullshit. If he was a gamer, he would have picked up the fucking gun.
Right.
Because that's the one thing we all know
that's
to do.
That's actually true. You're absolutely right, Mike.
You pick up the fucking gun.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
I'm not arguing. I just think it's funny. Yeah.
Now, and by the way, they could have still picked up the gun and been shitty shots. It actually is not easy to like shoot standing.
Sure it is. Haven't you watched movies?
Yeah, I have. And different things. Like zombies, the heads are bullet magnets. That makes it a lot easier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's true. Yeah.
But yeah,
at least it levels the playing field a little bit.
Yeah,
a little.
No, I agree. They should have taken the gun.
Yeah, and I also would have taken. That's not a word. Taken the vehicle too.
The snowmobile. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Why wouldn't you take the snowmobile?
These people are shitty at allocating resources.
Yeah.
I think they just wanted to die.
Like, well, these are the guys. These are the guys in the...
They
want
to become parents, so...
These are the guys in the Geico... Was it a Geico commercial? Where they're being chased by the killer? Oh, what are we going to do? Should we go into this running car? No, let's go into the barn with all the chainsaws. Okay.
That was a good...
That is a good commercial. And the killer's just standing there behind him like, are these people idiots?
And if they had a fucking flare gun, why didn't they shoot him? Shall we shoot him with the flare gun? No, let's run into the bear den.
Well, and that's how these characters acted. Literally, this is how these characters acted.
Well, and
so they go into a bear hole. They leave the gun, they leave the snowmobile, and they decide to run into the forest again in the cold.
And a lot of these things, you know, I always say, and especially, again, that if you're not there, you're not in the situation, you don't know how you're going to react. So I could certainly understand there's a bear, you're running from the bear, there's a man on fire, you might miss the gun. But how do you miss this fucking snowmobile?
Right. And you know they
and
shot
how do you miss
gun.
The second
That's the reason
gun?
They were running. Right, exactly.
Maybe they were exactly. too shaken up by their encounter with the bear.
I can give them a pass kind of on the bear for that first one, because do you want to stop and pick up the gun when a bear might be charging out after you? I'm willing. I can cut him some slack on that. I still think I got to get away quickly. Hey, vehicle! Boom! Off we go.
Right.
And I'm pretty sure if you're in Norwegia that you're automatically licensed to be a snowmobile driver. I think that's how that works.
Oh yeah, it's imparted onto you when you enter the country.
Right. Okay. That's exactly what I figured. As an educated American,
they have a gene. when you're Bond, too, that it just
It's not even the gene. It's a magical ability that even if you weren't born there, you gain it when you get there.
That's true. Except these morons.
Well, just because they didn't drive the snowmobile doesn't mean they can't drive the snowmobile.
That's true. But yeah, I was like, these people, stupid.
So I forget how they end up getting from that situation to the last situation. Do they just like run through the woods and end up at that guy's house? Or he tracks him down in the woods, doesn't he?
What happens is they run into the other rescue worker who happens to be the other person they think is the redneck. And then they club him in the head and they kill him.
Yes.
And they don't take his gun either, which is what you're saying, Eric. It's like, why did they take his gun? And he had a snowmobile too. Or it was either the snowmobile or he had the truck and they just leave it. So I don't get it. And then they run into another house that's close by. And it happens to be the house of the hotel manager.
Okay.
Right. And that's the thing.
I don't know how they got there, though. I think they were following the map or something. I don't know. But
basically, they ran through the woods and they got there.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. But you remember that he fell through the water, too.
That happened way before they got to the cabin.
Right. If that had happened after, I mean, I thought it was pushing some credibility as to how
far both
of them went after. He went full into the water bath, and then she shoved her head and her face and probably a good part of her shoulders in there.
That's pretty much a death sentence in that kind of cold.
Yeah, so I just assume they found the cabin kind of quickly, mm-hmm. and were in there long enough to overcome the whatever hypothermia there was. I'll at least give them that. But yeah, if that had happened on round two, then they never. They never would have gotten anywhere.
So they end up at this dude's house, and it turns out that he's friends with the neighbor who was in the laundry room that she was talking to about her marriage problems and being pregnant. And we finally come to understand what is actually going on in this movie.
In something that is perfectly sane and logical. And just a flawless idea.
Which is that apparently the neighbor was out flying a drone with his son. And the son was watching the drone and ran into the road. And our happy married or engaged couple at that point were fooling around in the car. And she was about to give him oral sex. So he was quite distracted and ran the kid over. And instead of calling the police, they just drove away. But because the guy had a drone in the sky with a camera, he was able to see who hit his kid and killed him and planned his revenge.
Right. Yeah, this isn't the first film I've seen something like this where a woman's given a guy a hammer and they hit somebody. And I forget what movie it was. It was a long time ago, though.
Parenthood has it seemed
like. But, yeah.
Steve Martin crashes the minivan and they...
Oh, that's right.
Show them talking to the police officer, and he goes, "So you were distracted?" And he goes, "Yes." And he goes, "By what?" And he just turns to his wife and goes, "Tell him, honey."
That was a great movie. I thought that was pretty bad. I have no idea why they hit and ran. I don't think they would have gone to jail. Well, no matter. Yeah, I don't.
Well, here's the thing.
Wait, they were doing something they shouldn't, which was
right
sex when they should have been paying attention on the road.
Yes.
I am in no way forgiving this. I can understand it because you're panicking, and this is not the kid ran out in the middle of the road. The kid was standing in the middle of the road.
Mm-hmm.
And even right. There were no witnesses as far as they knew. But are you going to be able to, cops are really good at getting stories out of people. And people who are not good liars, and a lot of people are not good liars, are going to have a hard time sticking to the story that the kid just ran out into the street, and not bring up the whole getting a blowjob in the front seat at the same time. Because let's be honest, that then becomes, at least, a manslaughter. That does not an act. That's not an accident. They're both going to jail for a period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of ruining both their lives. So I can understand why they did that. Not justifying it, not.
Well, the whole thing's a little nuts. Even if they don't turn themselves in, the dude with the drone was able to identify them with footage from the drone. So,
right.
Why didn't he just report them to the police instead of enacting this whole crazy revenge plan?
Right, because now, and I don't know what the policy for murder of a child is in Sweden, running over a child by accident in Sweden. But even if they could convince them that there was no blowjob situation going on in the car, they still would then have to, it would still a hit and run in
yes.
the death of a child.
Yeah.
And at the very least in the United States, that's getting you years.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming that's going to be happening.
Not necessarily. Like when John Gotti's child died by his neighbor who just backed out of his car and ran him over on mistake, he didn't go to jail. Instead, the guy just disappeared because Gotti killed him. But my point is that he got off because there was no intent, and there was no.
But did he flee the scene?
He did not. No.
Right. Oh, no, right. I'm saying that's the thing that would get him a couple of years.
Yeah,
is the fleeing the scene is what's getting him.
Yeah. You're right. I apologize. You're absolutely right. Yeah. So no matter what, the guy could have gone to the cops, even if they're lenient over in Sweden and let people go over terrible things like this. Even if they couldn't, they just assumed they got hit and it wasn't irresponsibility because of the sex in the car. They ran, and because they ran, they were going to jail, and they had it all on film. So you're absolutely right, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
So right. Why he decided the stupid plot, I don't know.
Well, because people are stupid. People do stupid things.
Why would his son run into the middle of the road? Why would he have the drone over the road so his son could? I didn't get that either. It's like, who lets their kid in the middle of the road? Yeah. Well, this guy was most certainly stupid, even though he had to.
I used to play in the road all the time when I was a kid. That wasn't on you.
But
you could also see where vehicles were coming.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I did, and we had cul-de-sacs, and we did it over there, but I never did it on a main throughway, really. But,
well, I don't know how much of a main road that is.
To understand the road system in Norwegia.
Right. So, either way, the main thing was, is why did he decide to do his revenge instead of just giving them the footage and the...
Right.
And the
Right. If he had enough information to figure out who it was, he had enough information to turn them into the police.
Well, because he wanted to make them suffer, and this is where it starts getting really all everything. I mean, when you think about everything that had to happen, now, he figured out who they were, easily done. Especially in the 21st century, that's easily done.
Moved into their apartment complex.
Or the apartment complex next door, right? Because there's a report from the good wave and neighbor. All right, that I guess you could do. You just keep an eye out for when the next opening is, and I'm assuming that's a thing that's a doable thing in Norwegia. That's fine. And then waiting a year or so until she's pregnant, her washing machine's not working, and you just happen to run into her there, get her to confess to you that her washing machine's not working, and she's in a bad position with her husband. And then you could present the husband with the thing to your brother or friends.
A magical certificate for your vacation.
For your magical vacation, and they're going to be into it. And they're going to end up, you know, making it to your cabin eventually. It's
foolproof. What could possibly go wrong?
It's a really, I think just the guaranteed getting the guy raped in prison to me.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too, Mike, last night when I was watching the film. It's like, if he turns him in, the guy's doomed in prison.
Yeah, I think that to me, you know, hey, you killed the child and took off. Let's fuck you up the ass for the next 5 years. I think I'll enjoy that as my revenge.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just me. Call me crazy.
Right.
Well, I will say...
Well, and why didn't he just take a gun, walk over to their house one day and just blow them up, you know, shoot them? Or
because he wanted them to suffer.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, you were saying...
Well, no, that's it. He wanted...
Because he did, like, if his plan had gone according to what he had in store for them...
Right.
He wanted to make the husband... I got to say this out loud, don't I? He was going to make the husband use an electric drill to abort their baby.
And kill her, basically, too.
I don't know if that would be...
Yeah.
There's a chance she might have died, but I don't think that's automatically fatal.
Say that it could have been close to killing her, though, because we're getting... Going through the intestines, probably.
It certainly would have hurt like a bitch.
Technically, they didn't have to go in through the intestines.
Yeah, but that's they were in this movie.
Well, that's how he was doing it because he apparently doesn't know enough about the anatomy. But there were other angles he could have tried that were not necessarily.
I don't think it would have been any better. I concur, but based off of how the guy with the gun was saying, you got to do it through the. Abdomen.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of crazy.
Uh-huh. Yeah, abdomen.
But he didn't, and like the weird thing about that scene to me was that she didn't really give him an indication one way or the other of what her thoughts were on that situation. She didn't like beg him not to do it, or she didn't just say do it. Like
didn't she have
without saying anything?
Didn't she have her mouth covered? I don't know. I can't remember.
No, I don't. Did she? I don't think she did.
No, maybe. I don't think she did.
Yeah, maybe you're right. Yeah, she just said nothing. It was weird. You would think she would say something.
Yeah, express an opinion. Yeah. Like, don't do that, or yeah, let's
just
let's,
a thought. Let's. What exactly? What opinion are we going to express there? Don't
do it. That's a good enough opinion.
Let us both die, or
go ahead and do it. I understand, because like basically what he's saying is that if he doesn't do it, he's going to shoot her in the brain. So right. They're both automatically dead, the baby and the mother.
Yeah, but maybe the brain is better because it won't be as painful as what the fuck she was with the drill. For Christ's sakes,
that's true. Well, and that's what ends up happening.
Yeah. So let's talk about how the rescue guy that was on fire shows up and
seemed pretty chill with it.
Yeah. Well, no, he was trying to stop it. He's going, what the fuck's going on here?
No, and, I mean, like, he seemed to be perfectly fine for a guy who was just set on fire.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Yeah. I was a little confused.
And he's coming in looking like, you know, the guy from The Burning.
Worker. He's hardy.
Yeah, from the movie The Burning. That's a good one, Mike.
Yeah, because he's all, I mean, he's clearly fucked up from the fire, but he's just like, hey, what's going on here?
Right. Instead of going to the hospital. But
they are fairly polite people. Let's give them that.
That's true. But the weird thing was, is after the whole fiasco where he gets shot, by our psychopath. And then he mistakenly shoots the hotel manager. He and the psychopath begin to fight. And at that point, there were two guns they could have grabbed. And they didn't grab them. That's the one I was like, why didn't they just grab the fucking guy?
Not a gamer.
Yeah, you're right. Exactly. So there's four times that they have guns they can grab.
Well,
three times, four guns.
To be fair, they didn't say he was a good gamer.
That's true. He seemed like he's a... That's a fair point, Eric. Yeah.
He would just run around in circles going, huh, I'm running out of ammo. I don't know what to do.
He was like Jim. Jim from The Office.
This is not related to The Office.
Damn, I want my Office jokes in here. And you keep on putting them. You stink.
Jeez. It would have been lost on me, too, so.
Well, that is a scene in The Office, which is kind of funny. And in the scene when Andy says, I could kill
you. Oh, my God.
Oh, sorry. All right, let's move back to the movie.
Talk about tangents. Jesus Christ.
So, we're going to talk about tangents again? Didn't we already have that conversation?
So, yeah, they're just terrible characters. And at that point, I was just hoping they would die anyway. So it's like, ugh.
Right. So at this point, I mean, I can't root for these characters because they're fucking horrible.
Yeah, terrible people.
Or there wasn't enough there. If I was supposed to feel, I mean, they didn't do enough to convince me that there was reason for them to have done what they did. And I'm sorry. I mean, they're fictional people. They're not real people. So
that's the reason why I'm okay with saying they should die.
Yeah. God. So then it's at that point, it's just a matter of, ooh, am I going to see him stick a drill where it doesn't belong? And then they went, oh, no, belly. Okay. All right. It's not as bad as I thought it was. It's
well,
not,
after
it's not
the gonna, dog, yeah. I was wondering if they were actually going to show it. I was like, oh, no. Oh, no.
Yeah, that's a fair point, Eric. Yeah. Yeah, but they didn't. They were close. It didn't. And you know what's funny, too, is she had the little baby bump, too, and it's like, oh, no! And then they didn't show it, thank God. But was more outrageous was the guns are right there. Yeah. Actually, they didn't even need guns. They could have just grabbed a lamp and clubbed the guy over the head. I mean, I was just like...
Well, Phil, people have what's called a fight or flight response. And clearly their response is flight.
Yeah. They're just stupid. I agree. I mean, flight is always best, but at this point, it's like, all we have to do is eliminate this one asshole, and it's all over.
But at some point, the adrenaline, I mean, this has been going on for hours now. The adrenaline does run out at some point.
Right.
You know, and even the rescue guy, even though he looks like the guy from The Burning, he doesn't know it was them that shot him. So if they kill this scumbag, he would have been happy that, oh, thank God you just saved me. He was about to kill me. And he would have brought him to the hospital because he needed to get to the hospital anyway.
It makes me wonder just how much these people would have covered up if they had made it through. Like, would be like, oh my God, yes, we'll absolutely try to help find the person who set you on fire. You know, it's just,
well, and really the only part of this movie that I kind of appreciated was the fact that they left it open-ended. Like, they killed the wife, they got their revenge, this guy's shot in the knee, he's still alive and very sad. And what happens next, we don't know. Because he wants them to live so he can suffer, the guy that enacted this whole revenge plan to begin with. Theoretically, if the guy wanted to, he could get the cops involved and get him arrested. But then if that happens, then it's going to come to light that he should be arrested for killing Kid. So will he? I don't know.
I don't know. I think he's just going to be glad to be able to play his video game in peace now.
That's true.
And maybe a few years down the road, he'll have that moment where he's like, wait, you can get more guns?
Yes. I've been playing this wrong the whole time.
That's what I should have done.
I never thought about picking up the guns. Oh, why don't they give us manuals with these things anymore?
That's true, Mike. Yeah, that's a fair point. Yeah, so, but either way, I was kind of like, oh my God, they're going to let her get away. It's like, but thank God she came back. And I was like, oh, this is interesting. And then when the final thing happened to her, I was like, okay, this movie is okay. Because at that point, I was like, I hate this movie. This is terrible. But then when they had that final twist, I was like, okay, that's good. I like that. It reminded me of the Evil Dead remake where I was like, kill them all! Kill them all!
You've become cranky in your old age.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, I'll tell you, I used to be very lenient on films, except for like the Evil Dead remake, because I was like lenient with Gallows and a few other films. But after Lovecraft Country and The Stand, I.
Not films.
True, but it's still similar. I've become, you know what? Fuck that shit. Fuck it. So yeah, you get burned so many times, you know.
No, you know, and look, there are things. I enjoyed the film. I am not recommending this film. But there are things that are just, you know, even while I'm watching it, like, really, this is where they're going. Like, it was very obvious that the, you know, that it was a red herring. I thought the way that they revealed the running over the boy, it was like, wow, that to me it felt like it came out of nowhere. Now discussing it, there's a couple of really obscure clues that I missed, or maybe they're not obscure, maybe I'm just using that to hide my ignorance, but it still felt like it really was like a weird thing to come out of nowhere to justify the twist in the film.
Mm-hmm.
That I don't know was. And all it did was sour me on any emotional investment in the film.
Right.
So I don't know what the solution to it is. I mean, are we supposed to, if we had known about this earlier, it certainly would not have helped. I would have hated the characters from the beginning.
Yeah.
And then the red herring would have become triply obvious. Right. So I don't think that works. If you don't have this storyline there, then there's absolutely no reason that the whole drill your wife thing, and I don't mean that in an erotic way, is you know, makes no sense really necessarily in the story. I don't know. I really don't know. Like, it's a story problem that I don't know how to hack. I don't know how to fix
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
It's fine. It's there. You can watch it if you went on Netflix.
Yeah.
And because it's on Netflix, it is essentially free, because we all know half you fuckers don't pay for your Netflix. And otherwise it's an expense you would be paying for anyway, so may as well make use of it, right? So if you're looking for a good horror movie on Netflix, go watch The Ritual, or, you know, something else. And if you're just looking for some silly fun thing with a dead decapitated dog, then watch this.
Yeah. I don't know if it was fun, but yeah.
Well, when you stop rooting for people.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah. All right. I'll go with that. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so that's pretty much the film, right? I mean, yeah, it was just this weird twist, and like we were discussing, very contrived how it would all work out. and even over the top. But yeah, it was interesting.
I mean, let's get this straight. We have watched and even talked about many movies worse than this one.
Yeah, I guess you're right. It would definitely be in the bottom third
on the scale of things like, say, The Gallows or The Giant.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah,
it's just a mediocre movie. That's all.
This is kind of, yeah, at the intellectual level, or maybe actually a bit above the intellectual level, some than like the bad, you know, slasher films of the 80s. They're still fun to watch, right? There are those elements. That there's a thing you're going in for this, and you're going in to watch some people being hunted in the middle of, you know, an Arctic wilderness, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, not Arctic, frozen wilderness.
Norwegian
wilderness.
Right.
Why do the Swedes live in Norwegia? I don't understand that. and on that level, look, it works, and we're picking on it because that's kind of what we're here to do. At least for me, it's picking on it from affection, not picking on it from hate. Because there's really otherwise, it's really not a lot to talk about the film for, because then it's just. Yeah, they go out, and then stuff happens, and we hated the characters.
Yeah, that's fair, Mike. I guess you're right. Yeah, it's not like, yeah, I mean, it's decent. It's decent.
Right.
Yeah. All right, sounds good.
It's not the Happening, for Christ's sakes.
Right.
Thank God.
Right. And that's Mike's favorite actor in there, too.
Marky Mark?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Him and James Franco are Mike's two favorite actors.
No, I don't have a problem with James Franco. I just had a hard time buying him as a scientist.
Right. Yeah, that's true. It's usually just Wahlberg that you get upset with. Yeah.
I think it's, but no, not, I just find him, especially in the 2000s for the most part, just find him dull. I have to think about his more recent efforts.
Fair enough. All right, so I guess we can get into some other stuff, like what we've been watching and all that other stuff. News, maybe. What do you got, Eric?
The only film I've watched since we last recorded was that one we were talking about earlier with Rosamund Pike and Peter Dinklage, I Care a Lot. Which I liked but didn't love. I was loving it up until the end. And then I was like, what the hell was that? So I recommend it as a watch, but I was conflicted about the ending there. The only other thing I've really been watching is I started watching Mr. Robot on Amazon. Which features our friend Jeremy Holm, which is kind of cool. That's a mind bender of a show. It's like hacker stuff, so it's not necessarily horror.
How far have you gotten?
I think 3/4 of the way through season one.
Okay.
Yeah, and like things keep changing and being revealed, and it's very, very kind of trippy at points because you think what's going on and then they change that premise on you and you're like, wait, what? So then what's the deal? And I enjoy that. So,
I watched the first season. I have some issues with it. I see some of the appeal to it. But there was also things about it that felt really, really reminiscent of a very well-known film that I just couldn't like not notice.
I think I know what you're saying there. I've noticed them at two, but it doesn't, I think, bother me as much.
No, but so I just never felt compelled to go back and watch it. Because I kind of felt disappointed that you know, those were the twists they chose to do that. Oh no, they did that. And I could kind of see it because it had been done before. But
well, at this point I'm waiting for like two or three different series that are being pushed weekly to finish their season so I can binge them. And while I'm waiting for that, I'm watching this. So after I get through Mr. Robot, I will continue on to Servant for All Mankind season two. And what's the other one I'm waiting on? Oh, Prodigal Son. Yeah, I'll wait for Prodigal Son to finish up their season two.
Right. And why all those specific?
They're airing 1 week, one episode, and that's not the way I watch television anymore. So I'm just waiting until the season's done so I can go at my own pace.
Gotcha. And what station are all those on?
Most of those I'm watching on Hulu, except for Mr. Robot is on Amazon.
Okay. I recommend
The ones that you mentioned.
Two of them are on Apple. Sorry, you're right, Mike.
Right.
Yeah. For All Mankind and The Servant are on Apple TV.
I recommend Big Sky when that season is over to binge it. That's a pretty good show. But right now it's
yeah, you mentioned that in the past. I've just got like three or four in the hopper already.
Yeah, that's fair. And so this iRobot, what's it called?
Mr. Robot.
Mr. Robot. So that stars the Ranger, or has the Ranger in it?
He has a recurring role. I don't know if it gets bigger as the series goes on. It's been a pretty small role at this point. But the major star of the show is Rami Malek, who has gone on to be kind of famous at this point. Right. I think he directed and starred in that movie that's on HBO Max right now, The Little Things.
So is this an older show?
A couple of years,
Yeah, it's a couple years old.
It's like 8 or 9 years, maybe?
Like Jeremy Holm finished up right before, the show finished up right before he did The Ranger.
Right. Interesting.
Yep. But that's cool. What I've been watching.
All right, sounds good. For me, I haven't been watching much TV. I mean, I've been watching Big Sky, and that's still good. Had a big twist this last episode. It's ABC show, but they put it on Hulu the very next day, so you can watch it through Hulu. And I think there's about 8 or 10 episodes so far. So that's a pretty good show. By David Kelly as the showrunner. Also, I finished up Cyberpunk 2077. That was great. So I just restarted that. So I'm doing that. There's a lot of stuff to do. So I wanted to start fresh now. So because now I understand some of the characters and plots that were a little confusing in the first run. So start from scratch rather than continuing with my present character. And then I'm still reading the Richard Ramirez biography, kind of, sort of. It's basically a true crime book that I picked up through Apple Books, and I'm reading that. And that's because I watched a 4-part miniseries of Richard Ramirez.
Still think Netflix. That dude was actually the devil.
He was. Yeah, there was something wrong there. There's no doubt. And it was weird too, because he did all these weird things that weren't regular serial killer. So in other words, he would use a gun one time, then he would use a knife another time, and it was just weird. He was just strange. Yeah, it was. I think you're right, Eric. Yeah, he's a devil. So that was a pretty good documentary series on Netflix. 4 episodes, and the book's pretty good too. So that's the reason why I haven't watched many other movies. What else? That's pretty much about it for me. So I guess we got a bike.
Yeah. One thing I feel horribly about, because I think we've, or it could be my memory is going, is that because we haven't mentioned, I don't think we mentioned it, which is the passing of Hal Holbrook.
Mm. Yeah, that's right. He did pass, yeah.
And, you know, he is literally one of my favorite character actors. And right up there with Dick Miller. And, you know, and he passed away now, what, 3 weeks ago?
I believe you're right, yeah.
So, yeah, I just wanted to acknowledge that he died because that is what happens to us, unfortunately. But, yeah, I mean, I'm certainly probably my favorite thing from him would have been the Crate and Creep Show. But, you know, he did a ton of
stuff. I liked
him
in Wall Street. I liked him in Wall Street.
Yeah, he did lots and lots and lots of stuff. You know, basically you could probably, you know, go, you know, at least a year watching movies that, oh, that guy was in that one too. You know, he could, you know, where movies where he had small roles in. So I just want to acknowledge his passing. I did watch a movie called, this was one of those ones, leftovers from 2020, when another one got some high marks, was called Spontaneous, which is
that
a story.
Was the weirdest movie.
Yeah, and it's kind of.
I liked it. But man, is it weird.
Yeah, and I'm not even sure how much I would call it a horror movie.
Right. It's not really.
Because it's not trying to scare you. It is a horrific situation.
Is this a 2021 film? Does it count as
no, it's 2020. 2020.
Oh, yeah, it's October.
And the story is about a high school in California, right, Eric? Not that it matters.
I can't remember where it's located.
Well, wherever. It's your American high school, and at the beginning of the film, the kids are all sitting in class, and one of the students explodes. And then, kind of randomly, every couple of days, another kid explodes. And it's how does this? And there's no explanation for why they explode or how they explode. You get the government coming in to try to fix the problem. You know. You know, how do you handle it? What's the cause? It's only kids. I think it's only members of the senior class in this particular high school where this is a problem. So it's not even like the start of the great, you know, explosion plague.
But it's honestly a secondary thing because it's really a romance about these two teenagers falling in love.
Right.
While everybody around them is exploding.
Right. And it's just a weird, it's like a interesting character study. And depending on what you want to read into it, you could read a lot of things into it. And I really just think, though, that it is a very malleable thing. I think it is just a lot of it is the realization when you're getting to that age that you will die. You know, I think most of us probably lost someone from our high school class, not either during high school or shortly after.
Mm-hmm.
Through some accident. I know some people have made parallels to like gun violence in schools, and there's some nods to that. But I mean, it's kind of rough to take it as a literal reading to that specific issue because it is very, very vague.
Where did you say
and
this?
Non-specific. I think I bought it on Vudu for like $4.99 or something, like on a sale they had. But
is it worth an episode?
It could be. I definitely recommend watching it if you have a chance. And if you don't want to spend money on it, I am sure it'll be popping up on Shudder or Netflix or Hulu.
What about you, Eric? You think it's worth?
I would have brought it up if I had. I watched it back
but
in December.
But I do think it is a decent film. I really enjoyed it. I had fun. I mean, that maybe lasted longer than I intended. But it was good. It's a very black comedy. I think it's fair to say.
Sure.
So yeah, I recommend that one.
Okay.
Let's see. I finished watching For All Mankind, and I am not waiting to binge, so I have watched the first episode of the second season, which fast forwards that to the 80s, and it's still holding up.
Good, glad to hear.
If you have an interest in the space program, that's in an alternate history of the space program, I definitely recommend watching that. Season 2 of The Servant, which, you know, also we're watching, does not really necessarily even feel like the same show, because it's, even though it's all the same characters and still stemming out of the stuff from the first season, it's kind of gone weirder in some ways.
Weirder? Weirder? So,
kind of, yeah, I think.
How's
that
even possible?
Yeah, it's, you just got to watch it. So yeah, like I said, I'm finding compelling. I mean, it's an M Night thing, and the thing you have with M Night is, with the exception of like The Happening, is that you could still be compelled until they get to the final moments, and then the final moments can break everything that came before it. So I'll be curious to see when. I have no idea if he has an end game. I really don't. I don't know if he has this as a planned ending at 2 or 3 or 4 seasons. But yeah, I don't know. But I'm enjoying it so far. Let me think. But what we're watching right now, my Pam and I are watching right now, is the second season of Snowpiercer, which I think is on, is it USA Today? Or not USA Today, that's a newspaper, USA Network.
Yeah.
And with Jennifer Connelly. And we were surprised. We liked the first season. We've watched 2 episodes of the second season. And, you know, this is the thing. This is how you know, like, we have, like, too much shit on the air. The new actor for the second season of Snowpiercer is Sean Bean. They got Sean Bean to do Snowpiercer, the TV series.
And you mean Ned Stark?
Yes, Ned Stark. He hasn't died yet, but, I mean, he will, because...
He's Sean Bean.
So I'm assuming sometime in the second season he will die. But it's just weird that here's this show that, like, nobody was talking about. I don't know if anybody was watching. You know, based on a movie that had a cult following, and you've got Sean Bean and Jennifer Connelly starring in it. It's and Davey Diggs starring in it. It's weird. It's like, really? I mean, do they have the money for that? Are they doing it as a favor of the director? I don't know. And Sean Bean in particular, I didn't think would be needing the work after, with all the Game of Thrones money he must have gotten from the first season. So I like it. I'm curious where it's going. I'm amazed at how much they've been able to milk the story. But they've really kind of expanded that little ecosystem that they built.
Hmm.
Nice. Yeah, maybe I'll check it out. I haven't I have Apple Plus, so I just haven't.
And also, I did want to mention this. I still have not watched The Stand.
Yeah, you don't. yeah, you don't want to.
It's coming. It is coming at some point. Probably spring break would be my guess, but it is going to be coming.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I already. Me and Barrett said if. At the end of 2021, it will also be listed as the worst thing we saw in 2 years in a row. The first thing ever that will make worst 2 years in a row.
You better hope.
Yeah.
You better hope.
Right. I don't want anything worse than that. Oh, my God. That was.
I don't know, man. I think you need to watch it again to make sure.
I think you missed stuff.
Well, you know what? Watch it. I watched it at least 2 or 3 times each episode to be prepared for the podcast. So I've already done it. And I don't
But now that you know the whole story and all the big reveals at the end.
Just for the greater context. Yeah.
Go back and you'll go, oh, now I understand.
It'll all come together on your second time through.
Moon! Now I get it. It spells moon.
He's spelling moon, but not saying moon. I get it now.
I just want to forget it. Just there's so much better stuff on CBS All Access, Mike, that you want to watch first, like all the Star Treks and all that stuff. But anyway, anything else, Mike?
The other thing is on HBO Max, I've been watching the Harley Quinn animated series when I like have to find something to do for the first 20 minutes.
I've actually heard really good things about that.
And the first episode turned me off because it's the cartoon is R-rated.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just and it's filled with a lot of vulgarity, and you know I fucking hate that. but no, it's not that.
Right? Oh, that's a joke. Fucking
yeah.
Gotcha.
No, but it is filled with vulgarities, but it's felt to me very forced because it felt like, you know, a 12-year-old that just learned how to say the F word.
Because they're allowed to do it, they're doing it too much.
And they were doing it too much. But after that first episode, it got way better. And they pulled back.
Leo Pond said it's awesome.
And it is. And it does have very very dark humor.
I saw her pop up and I almost told my daughters, I go, oh, you love, and then I said, oh yeah, that's right. That's the
one.
That's the one that Leo said is not good for children. So yeah, so I didn't.
Well, I mean, I don't know if it's not good for them, but your wife will not be happy.
That's why I didn't tell them when I saw it, because I remembered what Leo told me about it.
Right, and it can totally work because it is very character based, which is weird to say for a superhero cartoon. And it's like I said, it does have a very dark sense of humor and dark sensibility, but it's also fun. So like one of her henchmen is a character called King Shark. And he just keeps biting people in half.
Nice.
Which is never not funny. I don't know why. It's really got a great cast too. So, Alan Tudyk is in it. Kelly Cuoco plays Harley Quinn. Alan Tudyk plays, the Joker, and he plays Clayface. Jason Alexander is in it. There's a lot of very familiar character actors and names doing.
Not to cut you off there, Mike, but we are at 2 hours and 20 minutes now.
I was just finishing, and you just extended it longer than it needed to.
Anything else, though, Mike? Or is that?
No, that was it.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah, so high recommend there. I've heard so much good things too. So you're just another person that said so, and I think that DC station is just going to merge in with HBO Max too, I think, is what's happening.
If they had half a brain, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because that would drive a lot of people to HBO Max just because it's DC. All right. So before we give our final thoughts, Eric, you actually do another podcast with your buddy Dan.
I do. It's a general interest podcast called the Ascansity Podcast. That's spelled ASKANCITY. You can find it wherever podcasts are distributed.
Excellent, excellent. And Mike, me, you, and Eric are about to start up a new podcast. When we get off this episode, me and Eric have a few dates that may work. We'll talk to you. But what is that podcast again? We just released Inside Out.
Cinema a la carte. It's a podcast in which we discuss films that would probably not normally fall under the purview of the mainline Dark Discussions podcast of which you are currently listening. And we have covered films. We each pick a film a month or ish or whenever we get around to it. because basically filming for me it would be 2 or 3 podcasts a week. For Eric, it would be 4 podcasts a week.
Yeah.
And for Phil, it would be like 7 podcasts a week. That's a lot of time. So basically when we're not doing anything else, we'll squeeze in an episode. And we rotate taking picks, and Inside Out, which was recently released, was Eric's. Starlet was a pick from Phil. As was Collateral was yours, and what was your Tom Cruise pick there, Eric?
Jack Reacher.
Jack Reacher was another one. And I know I had picked Forbidden Planet was one. I don't remember what was the other one. Baby Driver was the other one I picked. And so we're going to be doing the next one we record will be another one of my picks, and it is going to be another science fiction classic. "Quote unquote classic" in some people's eyes.
Some people might think it's royalty.
Mm.
See what I did there?
Mm.
Mm. Yeah. All right. I tried.
It could be a queen.
So we're gonna record another one, and so the episode of Inside Out just came out a week and a half ago. as of the recording of this, which is once again February 25th, 2021, and so we're gonna have another one coming out within the next week and a half, and then so on and so forth, and then we're recording some new ones as well. All right, so that sounds good. So let's give our final thoughts on Red Dot. So Mike, why don't you start?
Yeah, look, I have some issues with the story, and I think that we made that clear. I kind of rolled my eyes at certain things, and again, I undermined any affection I had for the characters in one scene. And other than that, I thought it was kind of fun. If you're, you know, you are a horror fan and gets fun out of watching somebody be murdered and tortured and dogs beheaded. So I liked it. I'll give it a recommend. I'm not going to give it an instantaneous rush out and see it, but at some point I would say it's okay to catch up on it.
All right, very good. Yeah, for me, pretty similar to Mike. I mean, it was nothing great. It won't make my top 20 best horror films of 2021, that's for sure. I mean, it's default there now just because it's the only horror film I've seen in 2021 so far. Well, actually, two. I've seen Willy's Wonderland, which is will easily be a top 10 at the end of the year. But this one will eventually fall off. But because it's kind of, you know, just forgettable entertainment, whatever. But yeah, as Mike said, it's worth a watch. It's on Netflix. It's decent. Eric.
Yeah, I think we're lukewarm on this all around. It's not horrible. But it's on Netflix. So if you have Netflix, you know, it's not going to cost you more. So sure, check it out.
Yep, absolutely. All right. So, once again, this film is called Red Dot. Red Dot is specifically stands for the red dot of a gun. But either way, it was directed by Alan Darborg, co-written by him and Pierre Dixon. Has a number of actors that none of us know because they're from Sweden, though. As I mentioned, Nana Blondell, who plays Nadja, the lead actress, is going to be doing some English language films coming up sooner or later. And that's pretty much all I got. So with all that stated, Eric, why don't you lead us out?
All right. Thanks for tuning in and listening to us talk about Red Dot. Come back next week. We'll have another topic. Vår gardinen böljar.